Nuketown Radioactive number 57 for Monday, October 22nd, 2007. On this edition of Nuketown Radioactive, I become an uncle again. I contemplate a crisis on Finite Max, geek out about Halo 3, look ahead to National Novel Writing Month, listen to the Unquiet Desperation podcast and the very geeky Secret Agent International radio station, and consider the merits of a geek dad kit bag. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. I am your host, Ken Newquist, and this is a cursed podcast. That is right. For some reason, number 57, maybe it's the October thing. Maybe it's just bad luck. Maybe there's something inherently wrong about the number 57. But regardless, I have been trying to get this podcast out for the last 3 weeks and failing. I really can't tell you the number of times I've sat down to try and record it. It's not really the computer, because yes, that's right, folks, the Mac has finally arrived. The MacBook Pro arrived, I think, very last week of September, which was fantastic. But, you know, for whatever reason, you try and sit down and record, and it just doesn't work. I think part of it was that I've been spending a lot of time watching the kids so that Sue could have the time she needed to get ready for a Native American powwow festival that was coming up this particular weekend. And I found that it can be really hard to try and record the podcast when it's just you and two kids. And I had a conference to go to for work that turned out to not have as much free time as I thought. And I, you know, even just little things, like I fired up GarageBand on the new Mac and discovered that, hey, when they install GarageBand on a new Mac, they don't install any of the loops. And without the loops, you don't get the Nuketown Radioactive theme songs. I had to go figure out how to install those. So it's just been kind of, well, cursed, really. So here's number 57, finally out. And, enough with the excuses. On to the news. And I have some really big news first, which is I am an uncle again. My sister, Kristen, gave birth to an 8-pound, 8-ounce, 22.5-inch long baby boy. His name is Benjamin Francis, and as you might imagine, he is as cute as a button. So Luke is very excited to have another boy in the family, or at least he will be excited another year or two when he realizes that, hey, there is another boy in the family. Because up until this point, he'd been pretty much outnumbered. There were three girls in the family, in my extended family to date. My daughter, my brother-in-law's daughter, who's 2 weeks older than Luke, and then my sister's older daughter, who is 4 months older than Luke. So whole lot of girls around here. And while he has fun playing with them, I think he's really going to appreciate having another boy to pal around with. You know, it will take a little while to you know, even out the age difference, because I think Luke's going to end up being about 18 months older than Ben, but I think they're still going to have a blast. Once they get to, you know, being like 4 or 5, its age isn't going to really be that huge of a difference. So the big thing will be to see how Jordan reacts to all this, because, you know, now she's the big kid, and she's definitely going to always be the big kid, and she's got this whole little brood that she can be in charge of when we get together for family events, so I think that is going to be interesting. It's one of those older child things, right, that you always hear about, that they end up being a little bit more mature because they relate to the parents and the adults a little bit more than the kids. And I'll be interested to see how that shakes out with Jordy. I think she enjoys being a big sister, and I think she's going to enjoy being a big cousin just as much. So my other big news, at least from a geeky perspective, is that the MacBook Pro has arrived. That's right, my new machine is finally here, and as I alluded to earlier in the podcast, I'm recording on it right now. It is a beautiful thing. It is a slightly more beautiful thing than the MacBook Pro I have for the day job. First of all, it's mine, so yeah, I gotta geek out over that, right? This is my machine. I can take it with me wherever I want. I can go to Gen Con, record stuff. I can install whatever I want on it and just, you know, totally geek out with my new machine. So obviously it's more beautiful from that perspective. But the other thing that's really nice about it, it's got a beautiful display. I don't know exactly the technical specifications for the new display. I know that Apple did change over to a new version of the display. And it is crisper. It's slightly brighter. I mean, it's not a radical difference from the old MacBook Pro, but it is noticeable. I mean, if you've worked on the other one for a while, as I have, and you sit down in front of this thing, you're like, wow, the words are just popping off the screen when you're reading them in like a PDF or a Word document or whatever. So I got to say, that was a very nice change. Now, this has spawned something that I'm calling the crisis on finite Macs, which is I've had a whole bunch of computers over the last couple of years, and I've had files on all these different computers, and now I am struggling to bring them all together again. I have the Power Mac upstairs, and as I've alluded to before, it was a good machine, but the problem was I couldn't always get to it, right? So I would end up writing on other machines, such as my old iBook, which subsequently died. So I had to lifeboat a bunch of stuff off of it onto another machine. I had stuff on old PCs. I had stuff on my work machine. So I now have files from about 4 or 5 different computers that I need to condense down onto the one Mac. So that has been something that I've been working on all month. I can't say that I've got any great insights or wisdom about this process, except to say, man, I should never have let it get this bad. It's like an episode of that series Clean Sweep on, TLC, where, you know, they come into a person's house and, like, every room stacked to the ceiling with egg crates and, you know, kids' toys and prom dresses from 15 years earlier and that kind of stuff. Yeah, my computer's like that, except for the whole prom dress thing. The computer's just a mess. So I am hacking and slashing my way through this whole process, just condensing everything down and trying to get things organized. And one of the reasons why I'm trying to get things organized is NaNoWriMo. For those of you who don't know, this is National Novel Writing Month. You write 50,000 words in 30 days, which is about 1,700 words a day, and I'm going to do it. I may be kind of crazy to be trying to do it, but I have been saying I'm going to write a novel since I graduated from college, and I've never actually sat down and done it. I've written some chapters here and there. I've got a bunch of notes kind of thrown around. I've got a couple of different ideas that are bouncing around, but I've never actually sat down and done it. And I've got a post about this up on Nuketown, which I go into the whole thing in more depth. But, you know, in a nutshell, it comes down to this. I'm 35. I don't know why, but in the back of my head, I always thought that I'd have it done by the time I was 35, meaning at some point in the year of being 35, I'd have it done. 36 is looming very large. It arrives December 17th, and I kind of feel like I just need to sit down and get this done. So that's what I'm going to do. I am going to make a concerted effort to try and get it done next month. And if it doesn't work, well, then maybe it's time to just move on to other things and stop, you know, fixating about the whole idea of writing a novel. Or maybe it just means I need to practice more and write short stories instead. But anyway, that is going to be my big project for November. I plan on blogging about the process, but overall, I think you're probably going to see content be a little bit lighter on Nuketown during November. There will be podcasts. I plan on doing, probably 2 shows, we'll see. They're going to be shorter than normal. I'll probably go for 10 to 15 minutes just to keep something in the feed. I'll also be contributing at least one episode to Nano Monkeys, which is a podcast that is published during the month of November. Each day they have a new short post about some aspect of writing, more specifically some aspect of writing with regards to NaNoWriMo. So that should be pretty nifty. And I think I'm probably also going to be posting some stuff on the NaNoWriMo website. It turns out that they have a group within NaNoWriMo for the Lehigh Valley, which is pretty cool. There's 216 people subscribed to it, which is just amazing. It seems like there's only about a handful of people who are actually active in it, but I was just astounded to find A, that there was a group for Lehigh Valley, and that B, there were 216 people in it. So that was pretty fascinating. And the other thing that was kind of cool as a side note is that, like Nuketown, the NaNoWriMo website is powered by Drupal, and you wouldn't necessarily know it by looking at it at first. I only noticed it because I'm familiar with some of the modules and the URLs that come about because of some of the modules, and I found that the way they were using organic groups, which is kind of this way to have discussion forums and such, really worked pretty well. So I want to play around with it in part because it'll build enthusiasm for my own work on NaNoWriMo. But I'm also interested to see how things like organic groups play out on a different website, because we use these for stuff at work. And I might actually include it in Nuketown to bring back the old idea of forums. Yeah, that's right, forums. So we'll see how that goes. Now, with NaNoWriMo, on the horizon. I won't be having as much time for gaming as I might like, which means I'm also trying to pack in some gaming time with Halo 3, which finally arrived at the end of September. I was very eager to lose myself in the campaign and multiplayer, but to be honest, it really didn't go all that well. Luke was sick at the end of September and into early October. I had my little trip that I needed to go on, and Sue went on vacation for a weekend, and, well, multiplayer didn't really like me. It turns out I had some issues with my router and trying to get it to connect to the Xbox Live network. Never had a problem with any other game except for Halo 3, and it has something to do with your OpenNAT settings and universal plug-and-play. Again, this is something that I don't want to bore people to the podcast about, but if you do have problems connecting to Xbox Live using your Xbox 360, I suggest you check out Nuketown and the show notes, because I wrote up exactly how I got around this particular problem. And while the problems haven't gone completely away, the whole experience is much better now, and I'm having far fewer of the connectivity issues that I was having when I first started playing the game.
Okay, I don't want to take anyone else's turn, but I have a little dramatic thing I want to do.
Oh, so you eat sauerkraut and you love to dance.
Oh, that's great. My best friend's about to get killed.
Yay! I mean, boo! Are there any dead people around? Other than dead man?
Other than our normal one?
Roll monkeys!
I don't know why I'm doing this, but it feels right.
That's my action for this round, and I'm just going to continue to charge right at him.
So you're turning into a badass.
As this big silvery wolf bounds in from somewhere...
Somewhere.
Stage right.
I just dropped a hint.
Yeah, thanks for dropping the hint.
I just wanted to be clear.
He's basically kicking at you now, whining, let me go, let me go.
Okay.
Oh, God, I should never have mentioned that. He'll keep using that now.
We need to have a long, long talk.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
He's just the creator of the game. We're the role monkeys.
That's a good point.
In Netheads this week, I've got two new, well, kind of audio things that I've been listening to. The first is the Unquiet Desperation podcast, which is Chris Miller's podcast of the Roundtable and Patio Books fame. It's a companion to his blog, and it was on hiatus for a while, but it is now back. The tagline for the blog and the podcast, actually, is the massive men lead lives of quiet desperation. Where's the fun in that? And you can check it out at unquietdesperation.com. It's a pretty cool show. It's got music, short essays, conversations about religion. You know, just the mix you need some days, right? It's not your standard geeky thing. I think it's your exceptional geeky thing. You know, one of the recent topics was talking about somebody who converted from Christianity to Judaism, which was not something that you see a huge amount of things of, or at least you don't hear talked about an awful lot. So it was really just a fascinating conversation. It was really interesting. And, you know, that may not be everybody's cup of tea. It's not normally mine, but I thought it went really well. And I thought Chris did a really good job of interviewing. So I definitely think that you should check out the podcast. So on a far geekier note, there's a internet radio station that I've started listening to based on a recommendation from Will Wheaton. He's not a close personal friend or anything, but he is on Twitter, and he tweeted about this. And the website is Soma FM, which you can find at somafm.com. And the show that I've been listening to is Secret Agent, the soundtrack for your stylish, mysterious, dangerous life, for spies and PIs, too. And the specific address is somafm.com/secretagent.pls. And it's just a really cool thing. I mean, it's got a very, very diverse mix of music, but all of it is stuff that is kind of inspired by your 60s, 70s spy movies, the whole spy genre. And they'll mix in some sound clips from various Bond flicks, and it's just a cool, fun thing, you know. I mean, it's one of those things that, at least when I'm writing or coding or whatever, occasionally I just need to take my brain off the hook and listen to something else other than the standard, you know, radio stations that I listen to or the music that I already have on my computer. And Secret Agent radio station really does bring an entirely different kind of vibe to your work day. So if you're into that kind of thing, it is definitely worth a listen. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is H for Han Shot First, which is a blog post that Steve from the Wiki Good podcast emailed me about. And This is pretty cool. It is a web page that touts a Star Wars alphabet. So it kind of it goes through the list. So you've got H's for Han shot first and a bunch of other ones that I should have written down in the show notes but can't remember. But it's up on daddytypes.com, which is a great geek dad kind of blog if you're looking for that sort of thing. I'm not going to read out the whole URL because it's far too long, but it is pretty cool. And if you remember the last podcast, if you can cast back your mind that far, we were talking about Princess Star Wars, which, yeah, Jordan's sitting in the room here and she's smiling at me because she likes Princess Star Wars. But and the whole debate about when you should introduce your Star Wars to your kids and when they should watch the movies for the first time. And if they've maybe seen Star Wars, or even if you're just trying to get them ready to see Star Wars, maybe the Star Wars alphabet is a good place to start.
Hi, I'm Ryan Macklin. Quit it, you. And that's my partner, Ken Cheering. Together, we do a podcast called Master Plan. And I said, quit it. Master Plan is a podcast about game design. My guests and I talk about everything from noodling out an idea, fiddling with mechanics, doing playtesting, sitting down to write, and even doing that whole publishing thing that the kids are crazy about these days. If you're interested in hearing about game design, watch it. Or listen to your favorite game designers talk about what they love to do. One more time. Check us out at masterplan.libsyn.com. That's it. We're going back in the cage.
So for the feature this week, I want to talk about something that's become near and dear to my heart, which is the Geek Dad Kit Bag. I first heard about the idea of a kit bag over at the Dire Cafe, which is sponsored by UncleBear.com. And that's a, if you don't know about it, it's a place where various geeks, escapist geeks, post geeks, whatever you want to call them, hang out and talk about, well, everything. Productivity hacks, life hacks, those kind of things, usually score pretty high on our BS list because we're all, to one extent or another, older geeks who are trying to get more stuff done in less time. And I think to a great extent, a number of us follow the whole idea of getting things done, or GTD, or whatever. I mean, I don't know how many of us have actually read the book. I certainly haven't. But I've picked up enough of the idea around the net to apply some of those kind of principles to what I try and get done. Anyway, the idea of a kit bag is to have a bag that you have all your stuff in, but not just junk. It's stuff you really need. Now, this concept may sound somewhat familiar to you. Women have things like this. They're called purses. But guys don't, you know? We're kind of expected to carry everything around in our pockets. That works fine when you're just talking about, say, your wallet. And maybe some keys. Maybe a cell phone. But once you start adding a couple things on, it gets kind of complicated. You know, if you're heading down to the coffee shop or the bookstore to do some research and take a notepad with you, you know, throw a paperback just to read, or, you know, you want to carry some pens with you. Well, now you start to get all this stuff, and you can't easily put it in your pockets. It's kind of awkward to just carry it. So you get a kit bag, or your man purse, or whatever you want to call it. And when you're a dad, it's even worse because now you've got diapers, you've got wipes, you've got a sippy cup, you've got Cheerios, and that's just a light load. If you're going anywhere and you actually want to be able to have some sanity, you're probably going to want to bring along some sort of a toy, maybe a couple cars, maybe a Nintendo DS, you know, that kind of thing. So quickly you accumulate this big pile of stuff, and it's not necessarily stuff that you don't need. It's really stuff that you just kind of need to bring with you as part of your daily going out and getting things done. So I decided to start experimenting with the whole idea of having a kit bag after I got this cheap cloth satchel bag at a conference that I went to. And now when I go out, I take my kit bag and it contains two diapers, some wipes, wet wipes in a Ziploc bag. It has a snap cup with a snap cup. I guess you call it a snap cup. It's a little snack cup with Cheerios in it. It's got a couple of Matchbox cars and a small little plastic truck for Luke. It's got my keys in my wallet. It's got my 30-gig iPod, which is loaded with Star Wars and Superman and Spider-Man soundtracks for the kids. And, of course, podcasts for me. One small book, which is presently alternating between Spirit of the Century, which is a role-playing game source book, or The Fall of Hyperion, which is a science fiction novel, a small notebook with a pen or pencil, and a pocket knife. If I'm going to the coffee shop or expect that I'm going to need to, you know, bring us along some more stuff for the kids to do, I will also pack the Nintendo DS for Jordan and a sippy cup with milk in it for Luke and maybe a comic book or two just to keep everybody happy. I've been doing this for about 2 months and I've got to say, it's the way to go. I mean, I have been jealous of my wife's ability to just kind of take her purse, throw some diapers in it, and be able to go. And now I can pretty much do the same thing. Yeah, I've got my man purse, my kit bag, whatever you want to call it, but it works. And I think that, you know, if you're a dad and you're traveling with young children, it's almost essential because otherwise it's just so hard to keep track of all the stuff. And I think that as we move into winter, it's going to be even better because, you know, I can throw some mittens in there. I can throw a bib in there. I can throw, you know, a couple of hats, whatever, and just go without having to, you know, take this big pile of stuff, dump it in the Wrangler and hope I remembered something. So Geek Dads, I wholeheartedly recommend that you at least consider the concept. And I think, you know, I'll probably take some pictures of the bag I've got and throw it up on Flickr just to give you an example of the stuff that goes in the bag and what the bag itself looks like. Now, I would like to kind of expand the kit bag a little bit. At some point, probably when I pay off the new MacBook Pro, I'd like to get a new bag that could maybe double as a laptop bag. I don't necessarily need something huge, but a padded satchel that I could slip the laptop into instead of my huge backpack would be nice. I think I'd also like to have a few more zippered pockets so I could easily separate out things like the Matchbox cars from the Cheerios, from my pocket knife, from whatever, you know? And having some of those pockets on the inside and on the outside so I could throw, say, my cell phone and my cell phone and my iPod into one of the outer pockets would be nice. But overall, I can't complain. I mean, I think this whole approach is just saving me a lot of time. It's saving me a lot of sanity. And really, when you're a parent, can you ask for anything else?
So these two cars are traveling.
Are they flying cars?
Sure. These two flying cars are traveling from...
Wait. Like S.H.I.E.L.D. style from Marvel Comics? Or like a DeLorean from Back to the Future?
Well, DeLorean.
Killer.
Okay, so two flying DeLoreans are traveling from Tokyo to...
Can it be Neo Tokyo?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but with games too. Canon Puncture Podcast.
Can it have ninjas too?
That'll do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. Finally. I was honestly beginning to believe that I was never going to say those words. I'm always looking for feedback. You can send it to me at nuketown@gmail.com, or you can log into the site and post a comment. When's the next issue of Radioactive coming out? Well, I don't rightly know. I'd like to get another one out in October, but there will certainly be some coming in November one way or the other. I have created an account on nanoremo.org, so if you are going to be participating in National Novel Writing Month as well, you can friend me. My username there is NukeHavoc.